Hello, everybody. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Balak. And the Parsha begins with the words, Vayar Balak ben Tzippor, and Balak, the son of Tzippor, saw it's kol asher asa Yisrael ha'amari, everything Klal Yisrael had done to them. Amari ha'Klal Yisrael wiped out Sichon and Og. And then the Pasuk goes on to explain how Amari was afraid, and Balak sent people to go to Midian to speak to Bilam. But what's interesting is, only in Pasuk Dalad, at the end, it says, Balak ben Tzippor melech lemoyev bezahi. And it mentions that Balak, this guy who we've been talking about the past three psukim, you should know he's the king of Moyev at that time. And the Ramban asked the obvious question, why does the Parsha wait to introduce that Balak is the king until this later time? Why not to say it in the beginning? Vayar Balak ben Tzippor, who was the melech lemoyev. So I saw a beautiful pshat from the altar of Kelm. And he says as follows, he says, the Torah wants to teach us something over here. Balak, as Rashi tells us, wasn't really supposed to be the king. He was a king chosen specifically because of the current crisis, because of the situation that Klal Yisrael is coming, they're wiping everybody out, they chose Balak. Why did they choose Balak? So, says the altar, the Torah is teaching us the reason why they chose Balak was because Balak had a unique character trait. Seemingly, everyone saw. What does it mean by Yar Balak? Everybody saw what Klal Yisrael did. It didn't take anyone special. But we know, as Rashi tells us, the Medrash says, Balak, he came up with a plan. What was his plan? He said, look, how did Klal Yisrael do this? How did they wipe out such powerful nations? There's a bunch of Jews, you know, a bunch of slaves. How did they get the power to wipe out these massive armies? And he did some research, and he found out that Moshe Rabbeinu has this power of tefillah, has this power of prayer, and that's how they're so victorious. Says Balak, wait a second, we got to figure out how we can get somebody who can counteract that. And he goes and he hires Bilam. Says the altar of Kelam, we see something unique about Balak. Many times in life, there's an event going on. Things happen and everyone sees what's going on. Everyone sees what's happening. But certain people have the ability to see past what's going on in front of their eyes and to start to look, what was the root cause? Where's everything coming from? They go from the mesayvev, from the effect, and they look at the Siba. What was the reason? What was the cause? And that was Balak's, so to speak, power, his chiddush, his kayach. He was able to not just see things at face value. He was able to dig deeper and look what was the root of something and properly address the issue. And that is why he was chosen to become king at this particular time, even though technically he wasn't really supposed to be king. But because of this unique character trait, he was given that job. And it's something we can learn from also, to look at life a little differently. To try to, instead of just see things at face value, to try to take and understand what's really going on, what's the root over here, and address the root, and not just the effects that come out. The Mishnah Maseches Avos, Perek Hey, Mishnah Yates, says as follows, Kol mi sheyesh biyadei, shloisha dvar malalo, anybody who has these three character traits, he's a talmid of Avraham Avinu. What are they, says the Mishnah? If he has an ayin tova, if he has a good eye, if he has a ruach nemucha, he has a humble spirit, and a nefesh shefala, a moderate appetite, meaning he doesn't always constantly lust for more and more. Such a person, he's a talmid of Avraham Avinu. However, says the Mishnah, if a guy has an ayin ra, if he has an evil eye, if he has a ruach gavoya, he has a haughty spirit, or he has a nefesh or chava, a limitless appetite, he always wants to constantly devour more. Such a person, says the Mishnah, is mitalmidav shel Bilam HaRasha. Now, the Tveris Yisrael on that Mishnah asks the obvious question. He says, you always find that Bilam is contrasted with Moshe Rabbeinu. These are the two greatest prophets, Moshe and Bilam. Why is our Mishnah and others all of a sudden contrasting Bilam to Avram Avinu? Why Avram? So I saw a beautiful pshat in the Sefer Ruach Eliyahu. He says as follows. He says that the Tana in our Mishnah is trying to bring out a certain point over here. We have two people who seemingly, they go against the tide. Avram Avinu was known as Ivri. He was on one side and everyone else was on the other. Everybody else at the time of Avraham Avinu served idols. Everyone else believed in the idea of Avodah Zarah. And Avraham Avinu was the only one against his own family, against his own town. He risked his life. He stood up against everything and he believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and into doing everything that was right. Bilam, he's a Navi. He's connected to Hashem. Hashem speaks to him. And yet he manages to be crooked and low and perverted. So how do you have it, says the Tana, that you have two people in circumstances which should make them be completely different, yet they manage to go against the grain and go against the tide? what really is the cause that makes them and gives them the ability to do what they did. Says the Tana, it's all rooted in their midas, in their character traits. Avram Avinu, because he had that Ayin Teva, because he had that Ruach Nemucha, because he had the Nefesh Shvala, he was able to see the truth. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman famously used to ask, how could it be that we obligate every 13-year-old boy to choose to do the mitzvahs, to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the full burden of Judaism, when we have the greatest philosophers who all came out, you know, throughout their philosophical debate and analysis, they all came out, they do believe in God, they kind of believe in God. How can we demand that every single Jewish boy and girl at the age of 12 or 13 should all of a sudden come to the truth like that? How can we demand that from a person? And he said the famous idea, which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a person naturally recognize the truth. The reason why people come up with all kind of convoluted philosophical reasoning is because they have a Yetzer Hara, they have drives and desires and lusts, and then they go and they figure out how to work it out and make sure everything makes sense, and this is really the right thing to do, and this is really moral. So naturally, if a person has his midas worked out well, and he has an Ayin Teva, and he has a Ruach Nemucha, and he has an Nefesh Shvala, he'll see the truth. Says Atana Avraham Avinu, you know how he got to see the truth against everybody else? Because he worked on his midas, he had good midas, and he saw what was really supposed to be happening. He saw what Hashem really wants from him. Bilam, he can be exposed to the highest levels of spiritual revelation. You can see everything, you can know everything. But if you're a rotten person inside, if you don't work on your midas, you'll convolute it, you'll pervert it, and you'll use it all for your own ends. That, says the Tana, is where everything starts and ends. And that's why a Tana contrasts Avraham Avinu with Bilam specifically, because it came down to their midas of Ayin Ra, Ruach Kavaya, Nefesh Rechava, versus Avraham Avinu's ability to have that Ayin Teva, the Ruach Nemucha, and Nefesh Shvala. And that's where really we have to focus our work on, is just making sure our midas are good, and then a lot of things fall into place. When you continue through the Parsha, we have the whole discussion with Hashem and Bilam. Bilam goes to sleep, Hashem comes to him in a dream, he says, who are these people? Bilam says, they want me to come curse the Jews. Hashem said, don't go. Then Bilam tries again, and then Hashem says, fine, you could go. Then Bilam goes, and Hashem gets mad at Bilam for going. He sends the angel to block him on the road. And the obvious question all the Mefarshim ask is, so did Hashem want him to go? Did Hashem not want him to go? Why is he getting punished for going if he was told he could go? And different Mefarshim say different things. You see the Gemara and Makkos and the Yudam and Beis. But there's a very, very fundamental answer given by the Vilna Gaon, where he says as follows. He says, there's a very, very big difference in Hebrew, in Lashon HaKodesh, between the word im and the word es. The word im says you're going together with somebody, but not just you're going together. You have the similar goals. You are both going together basically in tandem. You're with in the fullest sense. You and him together are going and doing something. S means I go with you, but I'm just tagging along for the ride. You're going, you're doing something, and I'm just coming along. I'm not actually connected to you completely. We don't have the same agenda necessarily. Therefore, says the Gaon, look at the psukim carefully, you'll see there's a fundamental shift. When Bilam asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go to speak to them, Hashem says, you cannot go with them. And Bilam goes and says, Hashem says, Yom Relikim and Pasuk Yud Beis, Yom Relikim and Bilam, Loi Seleich Imahem. Don't go with them. But Imahem, don't go with them completely. Don't go with them for the same reason they want. They want you to curse, you should not go with them. Bilam gets up in the morning, tells him, like Hashem says, I can't go with you. Bilti, me and Hashem, L'siti L'Halech Imahem. Fine, they go back. Bilam goes back, he tries to go to sleep. And then, in Pasuk Chaf, Hashem comes to Bilam in a dream. Yom Relay, Hashem says to him, Kum Leich Itam. Go with them. But again, the word S, not completely. But the problem was, look in Pasuk 21. Vayakom Bilam Rabbeiker, Vayelech Im Sarimayev. Then Bilam went with them completely with the same agenda. And that's why in Pasuk Chaf Beis, in Pasuk 22, Vayichar Afa Lekim, Hashem gets angry at Bilam. Why? Because he's going with them. And that's why Hashem got angry at them. The Parsha tells us that Bilam's donkey famously had this miracle, and Bilam's donkey begins to speak and gives him rebuke. But the interesting is the Mishnah in Avos, in Parakei Mishnah Vav, the Mishnah tells us that there were 10 things created on Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. 10 things created at the end of creation, at the end of the 6 days. These were 10 miraculous events that were programmed, so to speak, already into the fabric of creation. And one of them, says the Mishnah, is the Pi HaAsin, the mouth of the donkey of Bilam. And the Mefarshim They debate why exactly did Hashem have to make such a massive miracle? Why was this miracle so important that it had to be put into the fabric of creation from the beginning? The Kli Yakar on the brain of Achaya, they explained that this was a kavod, so to speak, a honor for Klal Yisrael, how much Hashem loves them, how much Hashem is willing to do for them, that Hashem put this miracle already in from the beginning. But the Siporno says differently. He says that the reason why Hashem made this miracle of the donkey speaking, it was meant to show Bilam to turn around. It was meant to instill in Bilam the idea that he should see that Hashem is the one who really controls a person's ability to speak. And he shouldn't think that just because he till now had the ability to curse and to give blessings, that it was a granted, a given thing. Akash Baruch Hu could take it at any time, just as Akash Baruch Hu made a miracle and allowed the donkey to speak. So Sichas Musar points out something very interesting. He says, you see from here how far HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to go to stop a person from sinning. We're talking about not a great person. Talking about Bilam. And he was already told by Hashem not to go. And yet Hashem is willing to go and create a miracle on the chance that maybe Bilam will take the message and turn around. And he ultimately doesn't. He ultimately fails anyways. He keeps going. And he tries to curse. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu will stop at nothing to give a person a chance to come back. And that, says the Sikhs Musar, is a message that Parashat is teaching us, is the love Hashem has for us. How there's nothing Hashem won't do to try to get us to turn around. So I want to end off with one last idea. The Gemara in Baba Basra on Yedalat on Beis, the Gemara talks about who wrote all the different 24 Svarim of Tanakh, who were the authors. And the Gemara says a very interesting statement. The Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote his Sefer, Chumash, and he also wrote Parshas Bilam. And all the commentators try to figure out, why would the Gemara divide Parshas Bilam as a separate segment from Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah? Parshas Bilam is part of the Chamishah Chumash Torah. Why is it separate? So there are those who bring from Mashallah that the Gemara does not mean the Parshas Bilam that we have in our Parsha, the sixth Parsha. It was a separate Sefer which recorded the whole story and different things that Bilam had said, different Nevuahs, and we lost that Sefer and we don't have it. Very difficult shot to say that the Gemara is referring to a whole different book which is not one of the Kisvei HaKodesh. But that's what Shalal says. The Chasam Sefer, I heard it, said a beautiful pshat. He said that there's a fundamental difference between the Parsha of Bilam and all the rest of the Torah. Everything else in the Torah is from the beginning of creation and goes on to describe the world and the happenings and everything that was going on from Klal Yisrael's perspective. Parsha's Bilam is literally the camera zooms out and goes from a different angle. Klal Yisrael is completely unaware of what's going on over here. Klal Yisrael is happy sitting there camping over there. And Balak, they're trying to destroy them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is orchestrating events to save Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael knows nothing of this until Moshe Rabbeinu has been given this Nevuah of what actually happened. So that's why it's considered a separate piece of Torah, because it's a whole different angle. It's a view from what's going on the outside and how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us behind the scenes, which you don't even know about. But there's another pshat in that Gemara. There's a famous pshat of the Maral Diskin, and he says as follows. He says that there's a fundamental concept in Nevuah, that the Nevuah is Hashem talks to the Navi, but ultimately it filters through the Navi himself. And that's why there's a famous Abar Benel has a debate. In the beginning of Sefer Yirmiyah, there's debate about some of the grammar of how it's used over there. And Abar Benel says that that's how Yirmiyah spoke. He was younger there, he spoke like that, and then he speaks differently later on in the Sefer. This is a fundamental idea that Derech Hashem writes, that every Nevuah, the Navi ultimately, it filters through him, and the Navi processes the Nevuah with who he is. And that's why, says the Gemara, if you ever have a Navi saying exactly verbatim the same thing as another Navi, you know he's a Navi Sheker, he's a fake Navi, because fundamentally Nevuah goes through the Navi itself. Now, says the Maral Diskin, there's two people out there who that didn't happen. Moshe Rabbeinu, he was a Aspaklar Yahamir, he saw his Nevuah through a clear lens. Says the Gemara, means that there was no him left. He basically became so elevated and so pure, there was nothing left of himself. He was literally just a mirror where you could see everything exactly like it came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuahs were so pure, they were basically verbatim exactly what he heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was nothing of him, so to speak, limiting the Nevuah at all. Bilam, HaRasha, says the Maral Diskin, his Nevuahs were also like that. That's why the Gemara tells us that Bilam was on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Bilam's nevuahs were also completely pure. They were exactly as HaKadosh Baruch Hu said them. It didn't filter through him, but the reason was fundamentally different. The reason was because if Bilam had any access to the nevuah, he'd mess it up. Bilam was such a lowlife that if he touched the nevuahs and if it filtered through him, it would come out dirty. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give blessings to Klal Yisrael through Bilam and had to go completely untouched by Bilam and had to be pure as HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it. Says the Maral Diskin, it comes out like this. What the Gemara means when it says Moshe Rabbeinu wrote his book and Parshas Bilam is because there's a big difference in the rest of the Torah and Parshas Bilam. Everything else in the Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu again. All the nevuahs of Avraham Avinu and everybody else, Moshe Rabbeinu was given those nevuahs, so to speak, again, and he encapsulated them in their perfect way without any human, so to speak, intervention, exactly as he was able to see, as only Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see through his pure lens of Aspaklaria HaMe'ira. Bilam's nevuah was already given to Bilam like that. It didn't need to go through Moshe Rabbeinu again because it was given exactly and purely as HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give it. And that's what it means, says the Maral Diskin, that the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote his book, his sefer, which is the entire Torah we have, which was his nevuah with his clarity, and then Parshas Bilam, which was, so to speak, a separate entity, which was given to Bilam in that clarity, and Moshe incorporated it into the Torah, and that's what we have. Have a wonderful Shabbos.